Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. It is Baltimore Positive. I am back from the All-Star game. Lucas is back from the beach, and the Orioles are winning some baseball games. It's fun around here. Luke will be at Ravens training camp. Yeah, it's that time of the year. Middle of next week. Any breaking news happens first on the WNST tech service. It's all brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy, even though Billy Cole's ducking me ever since we had that cheesesteak over at Sorrento's. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery when we get together at Pizza John's in Essex on Friday this week. I'm going to have a crab cake at Pizza John's on Friday because some people think they don't have a crab cake there and they have a good one. So I'm going to order one on the menu. I'm also going to order some manicotti because I had Slim Manicotti on this week too. Slim's playing down at La Scala on Thursday night for the Mount Washington Pediatric Hospital. And I also want to give a shout out to my dear brother, Alan McCallum, who lost his mom last week, and we were celebrating her life this week in education and music and celebrating her life on Thursday evening this week. So if you know Alan, you love Alan, you've listened to Alan, throw Alan a note. He's going through some tough times right now with his family. This guy went through tough times with his family last week, chasing this little one, that little one, sisters, brothers, mothers, all of them, beaches, keeping the kids out of the waves. He disappeared. Not only did the Orioles go undefeated during your vacation, which some folks want to send you back to Ocean City, Maryland, just to get rid of you here for another week. Maybe we could win some games this weekend against the Braves. Luke Jones is back. And not only that, Mr. Rubenstein and Mr. Arrighetti are open for business while you were gone and decided to take yours and my best advice and find a way to sign Kyle Bradish. Did we get numbers on this deal yet? I've seen everything but like numbers. How much money they give him?
Yeah, 5 years, 90 million. And when you look at it in terms of the fact that Bradish, you had 2 more years of team control after this year, it kind of comes down to a 3 year, $67 million contract to buy out those first few years of free agency. I'll take that any day of the week. Look, pitching risk comes with pitching, right? Whether it's Tarek Skubal or Paul Skenes or The Miz or anyone, like Corbin Burns, right? The Orioles could have signed Corbin Burns, re-signed Corbin Burns 2 winters ago. And look how little he's pitched, hasn't pitched at all for over a year now. So it's the reality of the industry. It's very frustrating. It's very volatile. There's a lot of uncertainty. But in the case of Kyle Bradish, you're talking about someone that in 86 career starts has a 3.5 ERA.
Grayson
He's at
Rodriguez, 3-3 with an 8.23 ERA. There you go. I'm
Sure.
just going through other names of,
Yeah.
they could have given him a bunch of money 2 years ago instead of
They could
Boz,
have.
right?
And a lot of people
Literally.
would have been happy about that. And it
They would
would
have
have worked
signed
out.
him the
So.
weekend we went to Texas that you had a clubhouse badge and I didn't. They were trying to throw me out of the building. If they would have signed Grayson Rodriguez to a Boz deal, I don't, you and I wouldn't have yelled about it, I don't think, right?
No, I wouldn't have. And keep in mind at that point, any deal he would have signed at that point, you weren't going to give him $100 million or anything like that. So
But you were thinking he was Jim Palmer for a minute.
you were hoping, I mean, if not Jim Palmer, you're hoping he was going to
Storm
be,
Davis.
Mike Messina or some, maybe 90% of Mike Messina, something like that. But no, I mean, I love this deal. I absolutely love this deal. To me, I'm not sure. I don't know what the drawback would be other than just. That's the case with signing any pitcher to a 4 or 5 year contract. Are you going to be in that business or not? If you're not, then boy, you got to develop a lot of pitching, a whole lot of pitching. And we know that the Orioles, even if they have pivoted somewhat here over the last couple of years in terms of drafting more pitching than they did early in the Mike Elias era, well, Kyle Bradish has been the biggest success story. Keep in mind, Kyle Bradish was the headliner, even though we didn't necessarily identify him as the headliner, although I think most people did when they traded Dylan Bundy to the Angels once upon a time. But the Orioles did most of the developing for Bradish, right? He was drafted in 2018 and they acquired him very early on, right? So I love this deal. I think this is the kind of deal that if you had told me you have a chance to sign Kyle Bradish to 5 years, I probably would have gone even a little bit higher than what they did. I probably would have if it
He's
was a.
29 now, though, right?
He is. I mean,
Yeah.
he is. He'll be 30 in September.
And he's
Look,
had his arm reconstructed,
he has, as have
Everybody, yeah.
Feels like most pitchers. It's not, but it
If you
feels
have
that
it, I
way
don't want
sometimes.
you. Something
Yeah,
bad to go wrong if you have
right,
it. Something had
exactly. I mean,
gone
that was the thing with
wrong.
Corbin Burns, right? He was so durable, and then he's not
Like your
anymore.
niece. Do you
So,
have any scars on her knees yet from falling down? If she doesn't,
yeah.
she will.
So look, I'm not. I can't sit here with any amount of certainty. Mike Elias can't. The whatever GM you love in baseball, Andrew Friedman, go through the list of any great baseball mind in a front office. You can't sit here and predict the future. I mean, someone is going to give Tarek Skubal an absurd amount of money here in a few months. You don't know how that's going to go. I mean, you just don't.
I thought that when I saw Dylan Cease at the All-Star game. I'm standing out there on the porch at the All-Star game listening, looking. Eduardo Rodriguez was an All-Star. And I had to look, and I'm like, that's the same Eduardo Rodriguez.
It
And
is.
then I looked, and I swear to God, I saw a guy 6'7" who looked like Andrew Miller wearing an MLBPA thing. It was Andrew
I
Miller.
was going to say
I
it was
saw
probably Andrew Miller. He was
Andrew
very,
Miller was
yeah.
standing next to Eduardo
That's
Rodriguez out
really
on the deck,
funny.
and I was trying to like get a picture of both of them together, and I pointed it out to the young man that works for WBAL, whose dad, the Testoni, I had never really met him. All those young folks, they all took a shine to me, Luke. It's the silver coming in now. Some of them might listen to me, but I actually
It's
saw
wisdom.
Melanie Newman in person for the first time. I didn't talk to her because. Didn't think she probably wanted to talk to me, but I saw Britt Garoli, who didn't want to talk to me, who didn't want to talk to me. So the I never has never talked to me, but I saw like all the media and all that. But seeing like these pit the Miz, I was in front of Justin Verlander for like 20 minutes, seeing the silver come in on him and thinking, dude's made $300 million doing this. You know what I mean? Like he's out here. That kid over there throws 103, but he ain't made 300 cents yet. And Radish is one of those guys. Like you go, I was wondering how much money he had made before signing this. Like,
Next
this
to
is
nothing. Yeah.
next to nothing. I
Yeah.
mean, it's just it completely. Like, why didn't he hold out for 100 million? 90's enough when your arm's blown up and you're 29 and you've been eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and trying to get to this point. Your arm fell off and you get surgery and this doctor and that hospital and this rehab and that and this like all of that like. Bravo. I mean, for Kyle Bradish. And you know what? I hope the reliever's next. I hope he comes out, can throw 98, gets his money because he didn't get his bag either. And I've seen so many of these guys. I mean, Wei-Yin Chen got his. You know what I mean? Some of the Miguel Rodriguez, Miguel Gonzalez might not have gotten his. I don't remember.
No.
But so, some of these guys, Rodrigo Lopez, some of these guys, when they get five, you mentioned Chris Tillman. Like, these guys' arms fall off, so good for Kyle Bradish. He's done enough to warrant this. I'm on Team Bradish. I'm on Team Boz at this point. And I guess the point for me is this sets up what their rotating labor stoppage aside next year. Let's just
Sure,
pretend
right.
they're
I
going
mean,
to
that's
play
the
baseball.
caveat for everything now,
Nobody
right?
last week was pretending they're playing baseball next week, by the
Yeah.
way. When I was at the All-Star game, there's nobody that thinks they're playing baseball on opening day next year, by the way.
Yeah, the question will there be an All-Star game next year? That's
Oh, I
probably the
talked to
best.
Tom Verducci. I talked
Yeah,
to
that's
Bob
probably the better
Nightingale. I
question,
talked to Rosenthal at
unfortunately.
length. I talked to Buster. I talked to
Yeah.
all of them in Philly last week, one-on-one. I'll bring them on the show. To think that they've got part of their pitching figured out and paid for, that was something during the Angelos era. Unless it was Ubaldo Jimenez, they didn't have anything.
Yeah, when you kind of look at it now, and look, we're going to see what happens the rest of 2026. I'd be lying to you if I said I'm excited about this year's team the rest of the way. And that's even if they make it
It's just
in
because you
as a
didn't watch
wild
them
card.
play when you were on vacation. They
No,
won a lot
but
this
I'm
week.
just saying, but for where they are in terms of setting up their
Yeah,
rotation
you don't
now for the
believe they're
next
winning the
few
World
years?
Series this
No,
year.
no,
Right,
no.
right.
Goodness, no. But you've got Kyle Bradish now through 2031. You've got Shane Boz, same timetable. You now have Brandon Young, who's emerging as, and I'm not saying that that means he's going to be their number two or their number three. It might just be that he becomes a new Dean Kramer over the next 3, 4 years, where he's somewhere in the back half of the rotation and you just count on him. Point is, you're starting to see some stability in this rotation. Of course, always pending health of any pitcher, right? Look at the Dodgers, how much money they spend, and look at how they've had to duct tape their rotation at different times the last years. You can never, there's no, nothing that's foolproof, right? There's nothing that's entirely safe. I'm not going to sit here and say there's no risk whatsoever signing Kyle Bradish to a 5-year, $90 million extension, but when you consider to this point, to the point you just made, through 2026, you're talking about someone who has made s or $7.38 million to this point in his career. He's already provided surplus value for this ball club. Just looking at that alone and what he's done, even taking into account the injuries, the elbow injury and the time off and, missing most of 24, missing most of 25. But he's got number one, at least number two upside, right? He's having, it hasn't been a perfect return from Tommy John, but I mean, let's look at his numbers. I mean, what he's done this year, if someone had said you can sign up for Bradish to this point, coming out of the All-Star game, and we already saw he was scheduled to pitch Sunday, they pushed him back to Tuesday. I told you a couple weeks ago, my expectation was you'd see them move him to the back of the line
Well,
coming
now
out of the
that you
break.
own his elbow, you
And
treat his
that's,
elbow as your own.
yeah, I mean, you're trying to win, yes, but you also need to be mindful that he's already at 107 innings, and you're talking about someone who last year threw 32 major league innings, the year before threw 39 and a third. Now, he did throw some innings in the minors, so I think you take that into account as well. And I'm not, you know me, I'm not someone that will arbitrarily just look at pitch count and look at innings and just say, oh, well, that's it. It's cut and dried. It's never cut and dried. You have plenty of biomechanic data where you're looking at his arm slot, you look at his velocity per inning, you see how he bounces back, you ask him how he feels during his workday, you ask him how he feels after his bullpen day, all those different things. But the point is, he's someone you might have to ease off the gas a little bit here and there the rest of the way in 2026. It doesn't mean you're necessarily going to shut him down. Like, I'm not suggesting that, but what they did over the weekend where they said, all right, I'm guessing my assumption, Nestor, is there was never any true intention to have him pitch on Sunday. They might try to say, well, we wanted to give him a couple more days. He had a chance to exhale. He just signed his new contract. I think all along they said, okay, we need to massage his innings here and there. If we get an extra off day, maybe we'll skip him at some point just to give him an extra rest. We'll make it clear he's not injured. But moving him to the back of the line coming out of the All-Star break, that's basically, you might be able to save a start, so to speak. But
And
to
you're
your
winning
point,
anyway. Yeah.
and right, exactly, you have other options that you feel okay about, right? I mean, so point is, you've got Kyle Bradish now locked up long term. Yes, you do want to manage him, keep him healthy, and how he's going to feel the rest of the way. Fingers crossed that he feels really strong and you can continue to take him out there. Now, I don't know if you're going to redline the engine, so to speak, where you're going to have him at 105, 110 pitches. I'm not sure how much you're going to see that from him the rest of the way, but how much do you see that with all that many pitchers anyway, in this day and age? But I love, you know me, I've been a big Bradish guy for a few years now. I absolutely have been. He's got a 3.61 ERA. He's made 19 starts. He's over 100 innings already. This has been, he's 6-9. I mean, that's a lot. Big part of that is, this team hasn't been very good overall, right? But he's had some stretches. Remember, April wasn't great for him. He had the two lousy starts in June at the beginning of June. But other than that, he's been really good. And he's the guy that, unlike Boz, where I think when you extend Boz, the upside, the ceiling has really not shown itself other than just some glimpses here and there. In Bradish's case, go look at his second half of 22. Go look at his 2023 season. We've seen this guy look dominant, right? We've seen this guy look fantastic. This is a guy who finished fourth in Cy Young voting in his first full year in the major leagues. Keep that in mind. So, yeah, he's 29. He's not a young man, but he's not, there's no reason to think if he can stay relatively healthy that he can't be, if not a number one, a heck of a number two for you for the next 3, 4, 5 years. And when you're thinking in those terms and you're thinking about what that deal is, 5 years, 90 million, but in terms of what you bought out, 3 years, 67 million, man, I'll do that any day of the week. And you can't guarantee that he's going to stay healthy. Can't do that with any pitcher, but he's he's been back and has looked, he looked good last year when he came back in September. So I love this deal. The Boz one, I think there was much more debate, right? As far as where he was, the fact he hadn't even thrown a pitch for the Orioles, considering how much they had traded for him to get him from Tampa. But in the case of Bradish, this is a guy who's been really, really good for them. He's already been a surplus value, and I think he's the kind of guy that, with the velocity, the spin that he has on the breaking balls, there's little reason to think he can't be a really, really, really effective pitcher for them for the next 5 years. And you cross your fingers with the health, just like any other pitcher, but you've got to take some risk. And I think for a team that has money to spend, but is not, we know it's not a endless budget. I like this investment. I really like this investment. And if you had told me a month ago the Orioles will sign Kyle Bradish to 5 years, I would have guessed probably would have been a touch more than $90 million. Like I said, I probably would have gone to
Yeah, feels
100.
a little discounted to me, right?
Well, but you're taking into account he's still a couple years away from free agency. He's taking into account, yes, he has had an arm injury and Tommy John
And he
surgery.
can live on 90 million the rest of his
Yeah, I
life.
mean,
Yeah.
this is, like we said, to this point, he had made what I said, $7 million total through the rest of this season, mind you. So, this is this. I think this is one of those. To me, this is a home run for the team, and I think for him, all right. Did he potentially leave some money on the table 2 years from now? He could have,
If
but
his
I
arm
think,
falls off like Corbin Burns, he'll be
yeah.
real happy to have the
Oh, no
money.
doubt. So I
Same
think
thing
this.
with Batista, if that ever happens for
Yeah,
him.
I think
Yeah.
this one is a win for both sides. And like I said, I love this extension. I really, anyone who doesn't like it, I would really question, like, then who are you going to invest in? Right? I mean, like, if you're not going to invest in Kyle Bradish at these terms, at this rate, I'm not sure who you're investing in. I mean, Framber Valdez right now has a 4-something ERA, right? I mean, he was the guy we talked about quite a bit over the winter. I mean, there's no guarantee. Dylan Cease, great year, right? He's having a fantastic year. Okay, what about the next 6 years? I mean, you don't know. Like, we could do this game with anyone, right? If you're going to be risk averse, then you better develop everyone, and then you're just going to churn pitchers when you have club control, and then you trade them and you flip them, right? I mean, that's a really difficult thing to do. That's what the Rays have mostly done, and even they've had some dry spells doing that. So it's really difficult to do. I love this move. I'm happy about this move. I think when you look at the Orioles rotation now for the next few years, you got Bradish, you've got Boz, you've got Brandon Young, who's got plenty of club control left. I've seen a lot of people talk about Trevor Rogers now. I mean, Trevor Rogers has been great since, over the last 6 weeks. I mean, he's pitched really, really well. There's no doubt about that. Is there an extension in the cards for him? I don't know. But at the very least, those first three that I mentioned, I mean, you've got the makings of some stability. And of course, you're always knocking on wood when you use stability in the same word as pitching. But without being able to predict the future, without being able to guarantee the health of anyone, I very much like this move. And not that there isn't more, won't be more work to do, because, I mean, you're not going to bring back Zach Eflin. You're not going to bring back Chris Bassett. Dean Kramer's getting closer and closer to free agency, which, I don't think you're going to extend Dean Kramer, right? I mean, I think he's what he is, right? He's back of the rotation guy that you like, but you're going to wish him well probably at the end of next year or whatever whether you trade him or in the offseason or whatever you try to do. But I think with those three, having Bradish, having Boz, having Brandon Young, and Brandon Young, still want to see him continue to do his thing. Still want to see Boz get better, mind you. But I'm liking where their rotation is, certainly more than I did 6 months ago. Let's put it that way, I guess, especially now with these couple of these guys under control for not just the foreseeable future, but the next 5 years.
Well, I mean, 6 months ago, Grayson Rodriguez was a part of this too, right?
Yeah, I
Was a
mean,
part of this stable. So they've changed the stable. They've decided Boz is an is, and they traded a number one pick for him, right? And then gave him money. So this is a complex template that really over the next 14 days, how the team You and I better sit up, right? These are the most important 14 days
Oh, yeah.
of the next couple of years for them. That these 7 days since you were gone in Wildwood, they've won. Now they're playing Boston. Then they get Atlanta. They're going to have Philly in here next week before the Detroit in the middle of that, but Philly in here next week before the trading deadline. Where are you in the? I mean, we're going to talk a lot. We're going to do a lot of baseball the next 2 weeks. So I think
Yeah.
when you left, you thought, well, it's over. We'll come back, kick dirt on their graves. We'll do
You're
the
talking about
whatever the
who they're
trading
selling
deadline
off,
is.
yeah.
And then we're going to get on the football next Wednesday. Well, we're going to get on the football next Wednesday. But the baseball thing, I'm sitting up straight. You know, Rush
Yeah.
is showing up in New York next week. I'm going to some shows. I'm running around. Like, I'm sitting up straight about the baseball team since they started to win because they're in the race. Even as much as you and I have thrown dirt on them 100 times, and so is everybody else. So are the fans who haven't
Sure.
shown up. If they wake up in Boston and you and I regret not going Tuesday night, even though it's supposed to rain, because the rest of the thing's such a mess, I am fascinated to see how Elias is going to treat this trading deadline now that he survived it long enough to do it, right? People say, well, he's going to survive his job. You're going to write, they should have fired Mike Elias and he's going to win the World Series. Good. I'll be glad to swallow those words at any point. But in regard to this, Elias is running draft, which we did, you know, trading deadline, which is where we are. And the team has stepped up here. Now, whether they step up this week and keep this little impossible dream going, but they're going to be into some interesting possibilities by the end of next week, given the shift of themselves and the Red Sox in this to say, is there a race? Who are we dealing with? What do we need? I mean, what are their needs? They don't have a third baseman still. They didn't have one when they had Blaze Alexander, right?
Well, I mean, Blaze Alexander had become the third baseman against right-handed starters, which means you're the primary third baseman. So, you know, I mean, with his injury, I think there's probably a good chance he's back. I don't know when. And you know, even then, what's that look like? Is he going to be the same guy when he comes back? You know, having missed, you know, 6 weeks, whatever, 8 weeks,
I'm not
whatever
pitching
ends
them
up.
as a good team. I'm pitching them as a team in the race.
Well, I
And if
mean,
they're a
it's
team in the race,
sure.
then the next week's deal gets very, I don't want to say desperate, okay? But these new owners and the
You'd like to do
strike and
something. You'd like
you
to do
know,
something,
you don't want to look
yeah.
desperate, but you want to look like you've won 7 games in a row and you want to say to your fans, we want you to come to the ballpark in August, and we believe in Pete Alonso and Kyle
Sure.
Bradish and Brandon, that you know, hey, we're gonna, the manager couldn't figure it out, they couldn't play defense, everybody was injured, they're in the race. And I'll sound like Rob Long saying that, you know what I mean? Like, I'll be the one pitching the optimism for them, but the optimism then leads to, all right, you better make some deals next week, and they better smell like better than Jack Flaherty.
Yeah. I mean, we're gonna see. Is there a blockbuster to be made? I'm a little less inclined to think that's happening, right? And part of that is, you know, their system, their farm system isn't as top heavy with premium prospects at the very top as it once was. Not to say
I
there isn't
can't think of
depth.
a guy they have in their organization that they could trade next week that would have more value than if they would have traded him 2 years ago.
Well, I mean,
That's unbelievable. I mean, that's an
well,
unbelievable.
see, I don't know
Really.
about. I think you're talking about the guys that have arrived in the majors, right? Like the
I'm
guys that are
talking
still.
about the perceived value of Kobe Mayo 18 months
Sure.
ago and the
Fair
perceived
enough.
value of Colton Cowser 30 months ago
Fair
and the
enough.
perceived value of Henderson, Rutschman, and Holiday, who were, are that's the three-headed beast. I mean, Cowser, nice, Mayo, even Westberg. I'll give you all of that.
Yeah.
Holiday, Henderson, and Rutschman. The three of them were Tarek Skubal. They were the good-looking kid in school. Everybody wants them. Hall, you know, Hall of All-Star games, and we get them. We plug a hole. I don't know. I don't. They would have had massive value at any point to bring back a Matt to bring back Tarek Skubal in a deal. And none of those guys smell that way to me anymore in any way, financially, service time, and or perceived upside. No one's giving you their organization for Gunnar Henderson thinking they could
Well, and
figure him out tomorrow.
but you're also, I
And you're
mean,
not trading him. I get it,
I
but
was just
right.
going to say, you're not really going to trade from your major league roster, right? I mean, typically.
I'm just saying you've allowed, much like Lock and Four, if I brought him on, and it probably wouldn't be a bad idea to invite him, but that the expired fruit on all of these. Dude, I go back to Sid Thrift telling me that Curtis Goodwin and Jeffrey Hammonds were going, like pumping up your own guys is something you and I have accused them of doing all along. But when Baseball America is pumping them up, and
Right.
when you
It wasn't
actually have
just
stunk
them.
for a decade, so that you take guys third and fourth, Heston Kerstad, Colton Cowser, all of these guys, and you're thinking like, well, they at least should be complementary big league players to what you're doing right now. And other than Alonso and all the money they gave him, I mean, again, Rutschman went to the All-Star game, and I'll get to him in a minute because I talked to Adley Rutschman. I had a few words with him last week in Philadelphia. I think all of the values of these players, other than Blaze Alexander, have gone down, not up. And that's why the trade deadline is interesting to me to say, well, they're not going to your point, they're not dealing off the top of the deck, right? They're going to deal off the bottom of the deck. And the bottom of the deck used to sound like, well, we've got this guy we could throw in the deal. They already traded their first round pick from last year.
Well, one of
Yeah,
them, yeah. I mean,
right?
they still have like Irish, who they he
Who's
could
not a
be,
catcher, right?
he could be, yeah. I mean, he's a outfielder slash first baseman, but yeah, I think the guys you'd be looking at more are, I mean, I'm looking at MLB.com, their top 30 prospects right now. All those other guys you mentioned have long since graduated. So you're looking at Nate George, you're looking at Ike Irish, you're looking at Joseph Zerwa, who's had a really promising start to his professional career as a left-handed pitcher. I mean, you have Trey Gibson, who we have seen for some stretches. Wohiwa Aloy, the shortstop, who looks promising. He's 22 years old. So they've got, but these aren't guys that are in the top 15 when you look at those top 100 lists around baseball. So, but you've got some pieces. And you asked me a few minutes ago, what are their needs? I mean, they could really improve in a lot of different ways, right? Even after I just got finished talking about having some perceived stability in their rotation for the foreseeable future with the guys that they've extended and with the emergence of Brandon Young, you could obviously use another starting pitcher, right? I mean, the idea that if you acquired someone and then Dean Kramer gets pushed to the bullpen, or maybe you'd send Dean Kramer to the team that you're trading with, or maybe you acquire another pitcher and then you trade Dean Kramer for something else. I don't know, but you could always get another starting pitcher. I've already said this, I'll continue to say this. You need a serious high-end back of the bullpen, high leverage reliever, because you're not counting on Ryan Helsley to come back the rest of the year. You can't count on Felix Bautista to be there in September suddenly. I mean, if either of those things happens, God bless, great, right? I mean, that's something that will something additional that could help you, but you can't plan for that. So, I mean, really, I look at it in terms of I'd like to add two relievers if you're asking me ways that I'm trying to improve this ball club. So, but I just, I talked about the pitching. You and I've talked about this offense. You and I've talked, you mentioned third base. I would still say I'd like to acquire a right-handed hitting outfielder, someone that can upgrade my defense and put me in a position where if I'm facing a left-handed starter that I'm not having to put a Leody Taveras in center field because Colton Cowser can't hit lefties, right? Taveras doesn't belong in center field at this point in his career. I mean, the eyeball test, the defensive metrics suggest he's not really a guy that should be playing center field at this point in time. So what that means is I don't know if you need, but you'd really, really like to go out there and acquire an upgrade that could help you with your outfield defense, could be another bat that you could start against left-handers and, go about improving your team that way. I mean, we just rattled off bullpen arms, third baseman, another outfielder. Like I said, I still wouldn't dismiss another starter, right? I mean, it kind of sounds like I'm talking about a sub 500 team. Hello, I am, right? So they have plenty of needs, but that's what makes this so interesting, and that's what's going to make this trade deadline in a vacuum, like around the league, it is such a seller's market because how many teams are definitively selling right now, right? I mean, okay, let's just stick. Forget about the National League. Let's just focus on the American League just for a moment. The Angels, yes, but they've already turned over their front office. What exactly is that going to look like, right? There's been a lot of talk that they could trade off a couple of their, the top starters in their rotation, which are interesting names. I think you talk about Detmers, where like that's someone that's been talked about quite a bit. Whether we're talking about the Orioles or anyone else. I mean, I've heard Reed Detmers' name thrown out there a whole lot in terms of someone that would be interesting that you could acquire not just for this year, but moving forward. Now, he doesn't have unbelievable numbers. Like he has a 4-1 ERA right now, but that's someone that would be interesting, because there's some control that goes beyond that. But so you have the Angels. The Royals definitely have, they're 20 games under 500. The Athletics have completely fallen off a cliff the last couple of weeks, so they're out of it. They're going to be looking to sell, but they've got some of their biggest names are hurt. Detroit, they'll continue to say they're trying to do it, right? But it's getting really late for them, with the Scoobles reality as far as where they are. But beyond that, like, are the Blue Jays selling? Right? Is Houston selling because they got swept by the Orioles? Right? I mean, and then you're getting in everyone else. Well, Minnesota has the same record as the Orioles. Seattle's a game better than the Orioles, right? So, point is, just looking at the American League, and obviously you can do the same thing in the NL, but there aren't a lot of teams that you can very quickly, definitively define as sellers right now. So, that's kind of the rub. I just named three or four different things that you would like to do if you're Mike Elias or if you're, hypothetical GM trying to improve the Baltimore Orioles. But what kind of inventory is going to be out there and how much is it going to cost? I mean, even a couple bullpen arms, man, that bullpen arms are going to be in high demand. So how much are you willing to part with? And that's where
You're going to give up Ike Irish, your number one pick, for a bullpen arm? I don't think
Yeah, I mean,
so.
like that's where I kind of look, and that's
I
where,
already mentioned Andrew Miller. He's unavailable.
and this is going to sound a little bit like a party pooper here, but I'll go back to something I said earlier in the conversation. I'm not going to sit here and act like I believe the Orioles are going to win the World Series or can win the World Series this year. Do I think they can make the playoffs? Sure. How much am I willing to do to improve my chances there? When I kind of look at the field. And I say, all right. I mean, if Boston keeps winning at this rate, they might win the division. I mean, forget about being a wild card. They might overtake Tampa before it's all said and done. But I kind of look at this, this entire, muddy mess of wild card contenders, and I say, yeah, I'd like to make some improvements, but at the same time, it also feels very random. Like, who's just going to get hot? Like, the Orioles are hot right now. The Red Sox are hot right now. Who's going to get hot in September? Right? And it might be that simple. It might be who runs off 9 of 11 to win 86 games and they get in as a third wild card at 86-76. And who knows? It might not even be that take that much. But I kind of look at it and say, there's almost like a game of chicken. Like, everyone's kind of looking at the other teams and who's going to give up the most to go get, a bullpen arm? Like, all right, someone's going to go get Tarek Skubal. Maybe it'll be the Dodgers or the Phillies or who knows who. But I just, it's tricky. Like, this is what everyone thought when they moved to three wild cards, where you would have the entire league, save for two or three teams, still trying to convince themselves that they're in it. And here we are. Angels are out, Royals are out, Athletics are out, right? They're all 15 plus games under 500. That you're done, right? They're all, the A's are 8.5 out of the final wild card spot now. But everyone else, I mean, the Tigers are still holding out some hope. The Blue Jays are still holding out some hope. The Astros, I mean, so
Well, we're seeing all these teams,
yeah,
right? I mean, we saw the
sure.
Astros. The Red Sox are the thing. We're in the
Yeah.
middle of that. This week, it's going to be Atlanta comes in, then Detroit, then Philadelphia comes here next week. So it's these next 2 weeks. These are the best 2 weeks of the season for baseball,
Yeah.
and they're on a winning streak. They're playing a team that's great. They're at Fenway Park. The weather's up. Let's go. This is going to be fun. This is what we wanted, to watch baseball in football season, because the Ravens
Yes.
start next week. And lots changed since you went to Wildwood, Luke, including, I don't know if you know this or not, they gave me a Major League Baseball credential. And by the way, why didn't you go to the All-Star game, dude? You were in Wildwood. I invited you, and it's just your love of your
Vacation,
nieces.
dog. I mean, like.
It's the All-Star game.
I'm on vacation.
It's the
It's
All-Star
Wildwood.
game.
It's Wildwood.
Well,
Hey, I'm glad you got to go. And I mean, it's,
what did
yeah.
you make of the Rutschman thing? Can I just ask you?
What, his answers to your question specifically? Not much. I mean, look, I've
He looked at me with that ask a better question, and I'm like, that's where, like, in a different circumstance, I would have gotten shitty. But I didn't. I didn't. I just, ha. I'm just a guy from Baltimore, I said to him. I like, how hard is it? Like, it was like being with John Harbaugh. Like, your question's not good enough, buddy. Ask,
Yeah.
form that in a question for me. Come on, dude. It was 115 degrees. It was like,
Well, if it was 115 degrees, that might have been part of the problem.
yeah,
Of,
well,
from
it
it.
was
No, but I'm
horrific.
just saying from his perspective too, not excusing. I'm just
Well, it was just,
the human condition.
it was far less than ideal. It was one of those media things where I got my press pass and you told me once they give you the pass, you won't want it anymore. I'm out there and I'm like, they don't want us here. If they cared about us talking to these baseball players, they would have found a better circumstance for them and us. I mean, it's just poor. It's just
Yeah,
poor.
I mean it.
So, I mean, in a general sense. But that being said, I went up. I had a good time. I saw friends. I talked to people. I saw the man who saved my wife's life, the
I
doctor.
saw
I
that.
ran
That's
into him.
awesome.
Like, he yelled my name, and I looked at him, and it was like, I now all of a sudden I'm you know, I have Phillies fans coming up to me asking me if I was okay because I was a disaster. So, and I got, you know, I love baseball, right? So, like, being a part of that and seeing it after so many years, seeing the Fan Fest, I went to downtown Philly, and
How
that's
was that?
really, it's for your nieces, and they're gonna
Okay,
love
well,
it. They're gonna love it. How, so
baseball
th
needs to cater to young
2030,
people. Yeah.
2030, how old are your kids gonna, your nieces gonna
My
be?
nieces, so Scarlett will be
At
nine at that point.
four, at five, right? Yeah.
Yeah, be nine, and Evelyn will be six.
Yeah, that's totally for them. It's in the, and they're gonna have a
Yeah.
Budweiser and a Corona thing for your sister and her husband, have a beer. Like, they have a
Yeah.
whole, it's just an indoor playground, really. A little bit of
It's not a bad
history.
thing.
And, you know, stand in line to do this thing, and you get a hat, you know, an All-Star
Yeah.
game hat with Gillette on the side or whatever. So I didn't stay long. I mean, to be really honest with you, it was
That's fine.
very, it wasn't as much fun as 93 for me because of this and that and whatever. And it wasn't as big. So I would
Okay.
just say, from Philadelphia's perspective, and I stayed in two different hotels, two different nights. Katie Griggs is going to bougie you about what it's going to do to the community. And what it's going to do, how it's going to put the spotlight. Okay. I mean, I hope we do a good job with it. I hope we get good weather. It was
Sure.
hot in Philly, but it didn't rain. I keep thinking, like, if it had rained, how so many of the major, that press conference on the Monday thing, I don't know where they were going to put it if it rained. You know what I mean? Like, literally, it felt like they just threw it together. Put this press conference over there, that thing there. Let's get it to get them out of town.
I wonder if
And
they would have put it in like the club level or something like that of the
they
stadium.
should have done it
Yeah.
that way. It was 105 degrees. It was poor.
See, when I was in
It was
Miami,
poor.
they did it on the warning track of, but
I'm not saying
it's
that
an
they need to
indoor.
cater to the media, but if the media is going to put lights on these people, put them in a situation where Adley Rutschman doesn't say, yeah, and
Yeah.
look at me. Like, I didn't appreciate that. I spent 3 days to go to Philadelphia to cover the sport for their fans, for Adley Rutschman's fans. I'm one of five or six Baltimore people that were there. Doesn't matter if you didn't recognize me or not. Ryan Riffin got the fist bump and got the "I've got your back." So Ryan let him know he had his back. Which, so I'm thinking, like, what is this? What the media is? This is where we are at this point. And the disillusionment part of it is not lost on Verducci and Rosenthal. They all came up to me and they're like, "Yeah, you've been gone a while. Welcome back. It ain't the way it used to be."
Yeah.
All the things that you said to me, and I'm like, "It ain't the way it used to be," because they don't want us there. And they, every minute of every day, you feel like they don't want you there.
Yeah.
So, that's,
I'm not going to push back on that notion. I mean,
yeah,
yeah, I mean
that's
it's, but
my impression is they don't want us there. None of them.
that makes, doesn't it make it that much more important that people are still there then,
Oh
even if they don't
yeah.
want you there?
Oh
Yeah,
yeah.
no,
Probably
and
makes it more important next time
I'm
I
just
get it.
saying
I'll be a bigger
rhetorically,
prick. I'll be a
yeah.
bigger prick. I mean, I
So.
won't come up. I'm seriously, I'll be a big prick. If Rutschman sees me, I'll be a prick because he was a prick to me. And I didn't appreciate it. And whether he thinks he was a prick or not, he's a prick. So nonetheless, I could have asked him about last year, the year before, the 1-1 status, his trade status, the team stinking, the team being a, Basayo taking his job. I could have done a million things to be a jerk, of which I'm capable of being, but I'm not a jerk at heart. So I went thinking, like, I'm here. I'm going to ask questions that I was interested in. I was interested in. How important has your health been to being an all-star? That's a good question. How important to have another catcher like Bisaio that they've given money to that catches twice a week to keep you healthy so you can be here? Yeah. Give me a better question. And then the last question, tell me why you're excited about your team and why we're all going to come and watch you. I believe in our guys. Okay. All right. I'm going to go talk to someone else.
Well,
I mean,
I
that's
tell
me
people.
being a prick on the radio, and that's me taking 3 days of my life, getting on a train, going up there, trying to be a professional, actually going out in 100 degrees, wearing a backpack, sweating my ass off so I could beat everybody up, have Japanese guys hit me in the face with their giant cameras while they're chasing, their guys around. And like, I just don't, it's not community. It's not nice. It's not kind. It's not baseball that I grew up with. It's not a reason to make me come to Chicago next week or come to Camden Yards or get on the plane to go to Boston tomorrow. So I just want to throw that out. People ask me how my experience was. I went there to talk to baseball players. Some of them wanted to do it, some of them didn't, but none of them wanted us there. Nobody wanted you there. So that's my vibe.
Fair enough. And as I tell people, I mean, whether I'm talking to fellow reporters or interacting with fans or people in my own life, can only ask the questions. You can't force them to answer it. You know what I mean? It's just.
And that being said, the Philly experience that I had was wonderful, right? Like I stayed downtown. I haven't taken the subway there since 1981, since I was a boy. My
I've never
father
taken the
who,
subway in Philly.
so
Like I, yeah, that would be, I've been to Philly plenty of times in my life, but I've
my
never
whole
done the
life,
subway.
right? Like,
Yeah.
why would
That
I
would be
drive
foreign
into
to
the
me. Like,
parking
I'd be
lot?
like, oh.
Yeah, I drive into the parking lot, I park and I leave. I've been to Reading Terminal once or twice in my life, and I've stayed at the downtown Philly Marriott once many, many years ago, like 30 years ago. I got my car broken into, had all my equipment stolen, all my radio equipment. Dwight Weller's equipment was stolen back in the 90s. I had a girlfriend, had a room up there, went up, my car got broken into. So like literally I'm that guy in Philly. But and I'm not down and on Philly or whatever, but or even the All-Star game itself, but I had a unique experience to experience an All-Star game 90 minutes away. There were a lot of Oriole people there. I saw Oriole hats. The second biggest fan group there wasn't Yankees or Mets in regard to. And it really is all the colors of the rainbow. That's a neat part of the All-Star games. You see Mariners fans, you see Padres fans, you see Diamondback, you see jerseys everywhere, and it's neat. It's cool. I can't wait for us to get it back. It's been 33 years. It's overdue. We didn't get it because I led the walkout on the other owner, so we could talk about why we haven't had the All-Star game here and why baseball isn't normal here. And it's very normal in Philadelphia. I mean, the stadium's packed. I mean, as a media member, I got there on a 100-degree day both days at 3 in the afternoon. I mean, I got there when Barry Bonds got there at 2:30 on Monday, and seeing the stadium come to life, seeing the workers there, seeing how much the Phillies put into it on a daily basis, and being on the subway with their workers, getting to the game early in the day, and seeing the importance of all of that. But I had a Philadelphia experience to see. Now, look, they had World Cup the week before. They're used to big things in Philly. They have four teams and all of that, but I didn't feel like it enveloped the city. I didn't feel like it was everywhere I went, everything I did. I felt like it was at the convention center and it was at the stadium and it came and it went. And Baltimore will embrace it differently, I think, in that way. But I would say this for Philadelphia, for the reputation it has and all that. I had the nicest ushers, the nicest security people. The guys in the clubhouse area downstairs, I became friends with the two guys that ran the clubhouse because I was watching World Cup with them. And we started talking about Howard Eskin and Philly and the 90, and they realized everybody knew me. I'm standing there like, everybody knows you, dude. And I'm like, I've been doing this a long time. I mean, and all the celebrity types stop. The Ken Rosenthal stop and start talking to me, and the Buster Olsen, the people they recognize are like, dude, you must know some people. And I'm like, I've been doing that. There's a long story with me. Remember the walkout guy? Oh yeah, you're the guy that did that walkout on the Oriole. And they have the Philadelphia accents and Wooter and daughter. So I had a great Philly experience. I don't want
Good.
to, but the Rutschman thing and how the Orioles treat me. Disgraceful. It just disgraceful. How they treat our organization and how they treated me, disgraceful. And if they would have done anything they could do to stop me from having the pass, which makes it even worse, which tells you who they are. And I won't be covering the game, and I won't go back down, and I won't stick a Mike flag in Gunnar Henderson's face and ask him why he stinks. I won't do that. I'll just do it here on the radio. I don't know. I mean, I had Kenny Cooper on over the weekend, and we talk about people that. And I know you weren't an indoor soccer guy, but when you think of Kenny Cooper, what do you think of him from the outside all these years later? What's the bio on Kenny Cooper? The kind of person he is.
Positive, right? I
Right.
mean, good
Yeah.
guy.
Like
I mean, as someone who knows nothing about indoor
he
soccer.
talked to me about selling the game here and never stopping selling the game. The Orioles have stopped selling the game here. You know what I mean? Like, you know, just we're the Orioles. We roll out the ball, we pay our players a lot. You know, and I looked at Rutschman. He's made $27 million. Comes off as a guy that's made $27 million. That's all I'm going to say. He is Luke. I am Nestor. Luke will be at the ballpark later in the week. We were headed to Boston this week. We're not headed to Boston because it's Luke's mom's birthday, and he's all worn out. You're getting old, dude. These kids are rushing you down at the beach, dude.
I need a vacation after vacation.
How many slices of pizza did you eat last week? And here, I'm
Oh.
going to invite you to Pizza John's on Friday, but you're going to be at the ballpark. I'm going to eat some pizza on Friday. I'm going to tell you right now.
I mean, I'm looking forward to some Pizza
Seven
John's, but
days, two slices a day,
oh.
more than
I mean, on average, probably not more than that, but
that.
see, like we, so our vibe. We'll have it for din just have it for just dinner a few different times. But then the nights we don't have it for dinner, you go in and have a slice, right? It's like, you're on
Right.
vacation, right? You're eating, you're not eating six meals, but
Dude,
you're not
I
eating
feel that way about my
two.
pizza joint in New York.
So,
My joint Tradita is at 27th and Broadway, and it's so central that I always say to myself, I'm going to get something else to eat. And then I think, well, I'm only 6 blocks away, and it's $4, and it's so good, and I can't get it tomorrow. And I
right.
wind up literally going to New York and living on cheese pizza because, like, it's so good, and it's $4. And it's and no matter where I am, if I'm on 14th Street or 48th Street, I feel like I can get to 27th Street within 15 minutes, and I do. And that's it. So I understand. I love pizza. I'm
Oh
going to
yeah, I
Pizza
mean,
John's on
right.
Friday.
Well, it's funny. I
I'm
said to my family,
Italian.
I think it was the next to last day, and I said, "You know what, guys? You know what we need for a post-vacation blues that'll help in the next week or two? We're gonna get some Pizza John's. How about
That'll
that?" Never,
soothe you.
everyone smiled big. So,
All right, I'll soothe you. All
I've
right.
had I've had people ask me like, "Which do you like more, Max or Pizza John's?" It's like you're asking me who my favorite child is, right? I mean, I can't
Right.
do that, but I love them both. And as I put up a post on post vacation. So this was, I've visited Wildwood every summer of my life for at least a long weekend, typically a week. Sometimes I've done as long as a week and a half, but I like that place, but I love the company I keep there. And with my family, think back to my dad,
Yeah,
my
if you
grand.
and I went to Wildwood, it wouldn't be any fun for you,
I mean,
right?
it'd
Because
be
it's not your
fun, but it would be
family.
different. Like
Yeah.
things that would be special to me may not resonate with you. Like in the same way that like if you're an Ocean City person compared to Wildwood, like things at Ocean City that
I have so many memories in Ocean City. I go past,
but
there's
I
a
don't
girl
like
or a
I've been to
buddy
Ocean
or a
City a few
beer or a
times,
thing. Yeah.
but it's nothing special to me. It's the
Sure.
people you're with. It's the
Yeah.
people you're with that make it special. I
And the
mean,
memories you make that
I
day.
think of, I think of my grandparents, my mom's parents. We would go with them every year until my dad passed away 22 years ago. So memories with them, memories with my dad, memories, of course, with my mom and my siblings, and now with my nieces. I mean, total blessing. I mean, you come home,
I
I'm
don't know the
tired,
Wildwood song or
but
I'd sing it because I could say Ocean City, Maryland. I don't know. I'd never heard a Wildwood ad. So other than you and Ray, you know, my
oh, it's
mother,
well,
so
you
my
know the bit.
family was Philadelphia oriented. My mother's father, my Italian family, the Arenas, they had a bakery in South Philly. My mother went to Wildwood. My mother, my not my mother that everybody, little mother, my real mother went to Wildwood. So she talked about Wildwood forever. I literally have never been to Wildwood, New Jersey in my life. I've never driven through it. I've been to Atlantic City twice in my life, in and out for a concert and in and out for a concert. I went for two concerts in Atlantic City and they were in and out. I spent one night in Atlantic City in my life. I've never been on the Lewis, the ferry. No, I've never done it. I've been to Rehoboth and seen it sort of, but I've only been to Rehoboth 8 times in my life and all in the last 15 years. I'd never been to Rehoboth in my life before my marriage. I've been to Dewey 6 times in my life still to this day and all for concerts. So like I
I
like
always love live music in
Ocean
Dewey,
City's
yeah.
Ocean City, Ocean, you know, like the beach thing is your thing. These people that have been there with the Stone Harbor and like all like where Flacco goes and Avalon,
Yes, Stone Harbor,
I know
Avalon,
them on a
Cape
map,
May.
but it's not my beach, you know?
Yeah, but no, you asked the big song that they still play on the boardwalk and everything. It's the Bobby Rydell song from 1958, Wildwood Days. I mean that's the song. Yeah,
Oh, I
yeah,
don't know
yeah.
that song.
So no, it's
I'm gonna go listen to it now.
it's exactly what you would expect it to be, right? I mean it's so, but
I'm
no,
gonna like it.
it's fun. But like I said, it's not even about the place. It's the people you spend those time. You know, whether you're talking about family, friends, you're like. You know, to have the blessing of getting to go somewhere the same year with your family. And look, some people are, you travel way, way more than I do, and that's awesome. But for me, like I just love going to the same place with my people, you know, like and it's great. You know, it's
I'm
not
glad
even,
you didn't go to the All-Star game. I'm glad you took the
yeah, I
phone off
mean.
the hook and disappeared for a while, like a Billy Joel song, you
And look
know?
what happened. The Orioles won 7 in a row, you know?
Go
So.
back to the beach. We're sending Luke Jones back. I'll send you across this bridge to this beach, Ocean City, Maryland. I don't know if I'm doing Mako in a couple weeks or not. I have no idea if I'm even going to the beach this week. The Orioles might start winning and force me to watch them play. Woo! Wouldn't that be bad? The Ravens open next week as well. You can find Luke at WNST.net. You can find him on the internet at Baltimore Luke. You can find me anywhere, Ness at BaltimorePositive.com. You can find me at Pizza John's on Friday. Luke will be at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. John Allen is joining me on Friday. We're closing down East Point Mall. I put a picture of the poop plant up, the old poop plant that you have to be. The poop plant they tore down in 1985. I swear it feels like it's still there, but I put a picture up on the internet. I'm getting nice OG feedback from all my old Dundalk people. We're going to take a walk through the mall, and we're going to meet at Costas on Friday night. So if anybody wonders, hey, Nestor, when you get crabs down Costas? You know, you can't get them in Timonium because I was there on, I watched World Cup there. I had Crab Imperial there on Sunday. We're going to get some real crabs on Friday night down at Costas. Come on down and crack some crabs with us. Say hello. If you're an old East Point Mall person, meet us at the mall at 5 o'clock on Friday. And if you're a Pizza John's person, meet us anytime at Pizza John's. I'll be there all afternoon on Friday. So Essex, East Point Mall, Shasparrow's Point, Dundalk. It's a Friday night in Baltimore. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our partners at GBMC. I am walking a mile in their shoes. This is this year's shirt. I'll get next year's shirt ready to go in April of next year. GBMC are our partners in keeping me alive and well, as well as Farnan and Dermer. They are the comfort guys. And I have Zach coming on this week because this air quality thing got me all weirded out about the smoke. You picked a good time to go to Wildwood last week, Luke, especially because the Orioles started winning some games. I'm Nestor. He's Luke. We're going to come back and talk some football right after this. We're Baltimore Positive.